our thought today actually is going to come out of, good morning.
Hey, Neil.
Good to see you, my friend. Our thought is going to come out of Psalms 46:10 that says, be still and know that I am God. The be still part really has a lot of inference to our mind. And that's what we're all grappling with when it comes to centering prayer, is we didn't realize how active our mind really is. It's just an endless motion of thoughts and feelings, and they just keep going and going. And we try to assimilate those and figure out which ones are God and which ones are me and which ones do I not want. And so most of our life, we've been living in our mind and trying to analyze God, figure God out, understand God. And it's a struggle. And I think the reason it's been a struggle is obviously we have actually approached it wrong. So the psalmist is saying, be still, quieten your mind. Another reference to it says, sink down. And we've used that analogy where you're in the boat on the top of the water, and those are your thoughts. And it's just slip out of the boat and sink down to the bottom of the river and sit there and be still. And in that, it says, and know. And the knowing comes out of the heart. And that's what God wants us to do, is to know him in our heart. But I would suggest to you, most people who know God or think about God, it's all up in the mind. And so there's a lot of stuff going on. Let me use an example. I come from a Pentecostal background, lots of worship, loud music, all kinds of great things going on. And then all of a sudden, the service would get quiet and everybody got nervous. And then the first thing people wanted to do was applaud God, right? That silence was uncomfortable in our church services. It's just like, no, we can't have silence. And so then I begin to extrapolate that out, and I thought, it's interesting, even as humans, we're not too comfortable with silence. People have the radios on, they have TV on, they've got music going. At nighttime, they leave the lights on. There's all kinds of noise that's going, because to a certain point, we are more comfortable with noise and activity and ceaseless things going on than we are getting quiet for 60 seconds. You ever notice when you're at a sports game, they say, okay, let's honor the flag, let's be quiet for 60 seconds. That 60 seconds seems like an eternity. You're wondering, it's gotta be up by now. Gosh, what are they doing? Taking us past 60 seconds? And you're getting antsy and uncomfortable. Well, just think about that. If we struggle being quiet for 60 seconds in just a sports event, now we're gonna try and sit quietly before God. That just seems like, to the mind, torture. And so there's where the battle really starts. The mind, the Bible says, is at war with God. It's at war with the spirit in us. And yet the hunger that we have is in our heart. Problem is, we go to our mind to try and understand what God is saying and doing. But in our mind is this endless river of thoughts. And I know, like, you know, Rob says that, you know, I've been doing this for a while, and I have. But I have some days where my mind will not shut down. And I sit there for 2 hours. and my mind is running and I'm trying to turn it off and I'm trying to get it to slow down so that I can just drop into the presence of God. So I have some days where it is a serious challenge, but I don't get discouraged. It's like plowing hard ground. You got to plow if you're ever going to get some seeds in the ground to get some fruit. Don't ever be discouraged if there are days, and I've had them, where the mind is just running interference. It's just the way it is. And so what we're trying to tap into is dropping down into the presence of God in our inner man. That's where we get to know God. That's where we get to dwell with God. That's where we begin to relate in a much deeper way. As I shared last time, being a pastor, I would try to come up with things that I really thought were for God, by God, for the people. Now, as I look back, I realize that was my mind at work, trying to build faith in the people so that they would trust God and believe God. But God wasn't saying anything like that to me. So I was on my own. I mean, I had one time, I distinctly remember, I felt so confident with what I had. I walked up and I was getting ready to minister to the people. And I had this picture that God was still sitting in my chair. And it was like, what are you doing over there? And he said you got it. Go for it. And all of a sudden I realized I was working out of here. And I kind of had thought I really got this because I spent a lot of time studying, preparing. I had actually let my mind take over and didn't realize I had separated. And it's almost like, I got this for you, God. I didn't mean it that way, but that's kind of how it all worked out. That was the worst time of my life sharing with people. I was so keenly aware God sat in that chair the whole time watching me. And I couldn't get done quick enough. I realized I had done something wrong. Now, at that time, I was younger, so I didn't quite grasp the mistake I had made, right? I didn't realize I had allowed everything to be here, and I felt so confident, and I had this, and I was going to really do a good job. I hadn't realized that I had bypassed the Spirit. Not on purpose. It was just that foolishness of my part. But that was the part of our minds that just keep going and going and going. And even today, our minds don't want to stop. They want to have that endless train going through us to keep us going. And what profit, what good does it do? I had an experience recently. This one is one of my better ones where I actually got my mind to quiet in the morning, and I just felt very keenly connected. I knew God was in me. I was very aware. And I got in the car to drive here to the office. And as I turned the corner, there's these huge rows of trees on either side of the road. But I was very aware God was in me. He was everywhere there. And all of a sudden, as I looked, the trees were shimmering. They were alive with God. The grass was alive. I saw God everywhere. It was captivating. It was amazing. It was like, wow. And isn't that what the Bible says? He's everywhere present. Nowhere absent. But we don't see that because we're here. The only way we can truly begin to know and understand God in His way is in our inner man, our heart, where we become still and at one with him. And I go back to what I mentioned the last time, because I really am processing these things in my life. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only say what I hear the Father saying. And if you notice in the Bible, he would slip away. You know, all of the activity was going on. Miracles had taken place. People were excited. There was lots of excitement. He would slip away to a quiet place and quiet himself, be at peace. And that's the example he shows us. So he knew when and when not to. I mean, I think of the Pool of Bethesda, where all around that pool, all kinds of sick people. They were there because once in a while, the angel would come down, touch the water. Whoever's in the water first got healed. So obviously all the sick people were there waiting. Jesus comes to a paralyzed man, says, would you like to be made whole? He said, yes. And Jesus healed him. And I'm looking at the rest of the people in my mind's eye saying, did anyone just see what the Lord did? And no one's saying, what about me? How about healing me? They just watched. And the paralytic man was the only guy that got healed. And it's like, wow. How did the others miss out on that? How did they miss that amazing opportunity? Because there's other scriptures that will tell us that when Jesus went into a situation, everyone that was there was healed. But if you notice, nothing was ever the same. Everything was uniquely different. But it comes back to being at one with God, knowing what God wants done, and being like a glove over his hand, and he's moving you. That's what this centering prayer is cultivating in our lives, is the fine-tuning of our inner man to the voice, to the awareness, to the presence of God. The mind always runs interference because it wants nonstop action. But dropping down into that stillness, sitting before God, getting the mind to slow down, begins to build a sensitivity, an awareness that then begins to go with you. It's not just in those moments when you're being quiet in the prayer, but this begins to move out with you when you're in the car, when you're in the store, you're in different places. You're becoming more sensitized to your inner man, listening less to your mind. One thing that I find that really rises up when I'm quiet before God is a real sense of peace. A lot of people want happiness, but in this time of quietness with God arises a peace. Isn't that what the Lord said? My peace I will give you, what passes understanding. That peace is the absence of guilt, shame, fear. So when we're living in that peace that comes by being still with God, all of those things that motivate our brain, guilt, striving, achieving, outdoing, pride, all those things, they're wiped out. They don't have the same power or hold or motivation on us. When that peace rises up, we're free of those things. So there's no knee-jerk reaction out of our life to prove to people or to make people like us. We actually get to a spot, if I do those things, I'm not really going to help them. And I'm worsening my situation. I want to live in this element of peace. So as I spend this time with God, knowing he is God, this peace begins to rise. And as you taste of it and you really see how powerful it is You want more and more of it, because now you're living in the peace of God, which passes understanding, mind. Mind is at war with God. A couple of examples. I make sure my time, okay. My mother is in the hospital, been in the hospital. I'm the only child. My father passed away 10 years ago of cancer. My mother has been a devout believer all my life, and she is struggling. She's struggling to eat. She's really in a hard place. And I've never seen my mother in this situation ever in my whole life. And obviously it touches me. I'm in Houston, she's in Toronto, Canada. She's been in and out of emergency. She's been in two hospitals. She's now in rehab. I call her every day, sometimes twice a day. But my mind can really begin to go sideways on me. I gotta hurry up and get up there. And then on top of all of that, last Saturday night, my oldest son had a stroke. So I had to rush to the hospital to see what was happening. So I'm driving to the hospital, but because God has been so precious to me, I'm aware of this inner peace. Dealing with my mind to stop, I have this peace. God's in charge. God knew this. God knew all of this stuff. He's in charge. So I had this overriding peace begin to rise up inside of me that quieted my mind from worry and fear and what am I going to do and what should I say and all of those things that are normal for us to do. I just felt this quiet calm, and it's been with me all week, and I'm ready to go to Toronto if I'm supposed to. I put my son in the hands of God, that God will see him through, and he's definitely getting better. But I found, as a result of spending time with God and centering prayer, what I would have done a few months ago was totally captured by the peace of God that passes understanding. And it's something you can't conjure up. You can't make that peace come or go. You only get it by sitting with God. So realize, our minds want to keep us active. They want to keep us going. But our heart yearns to slow down, sit. And all of a sudden, what used to be awkward and difficult, 60 seconds of silence, now becomes a desire. It becomes meaningful because you realize you're connecting with the living God and he's inside of you. One last thing I want to really stress. God is in us. He never leaves us. Always there. But I notice sometimes the songs that I sing or I enjoy, they put God out there and they say, come, come Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit already came. He's already here. So I think in the past, sometimes I would put God out there all the time, even though I'm a pastor at that time. I would keep putting God out there saying, come, come. And it's almost if I could have heard God saying, I'm in you. I never left. Why do I have to come? I'm there. So again, back to our mind keeps separating us from God when the truth of the matter is he's living in us nonstop all the time. And that's where Jesus was able to say, I do what I see the Father doing. I say what I hear the Father saying. Then he went on to say to us, the same things that I have done, you can do. I believe that. Am I there? No. Because of my mind, I'm still getting through the maze of the mind to really embrace those amazing truths that have been made available to us. And it's an amazing, awesome journey. I love this journey. And I'm becoming freer and freer. Freer of the pressure of man, the pleasing of man. What I really want to do more than ever is please the living God. Because in that, I have whatever comes out of me is his pleasure, his goodness. And that's what really enriches the lives of others, not what I can come up with as a good thought. So I'll stop there. I mean, I could get on a roll. There's just so much that you could say and do because God is amazing. But I am so thrilled that you're on this journey with us. And I pray that you get something out of today that's meaningful and helpful that will really help you press in and see how rich and real God has been working in even in your past into the present. It's such a joy. I'm just looking forward to this coming week and what's in store for me and hearing what God is doing for you. Well, I guess it's time for us to do the 20 minutes and then some questions and answers, or you can share some things that are going on in your life. I mean, it's always good to share because it encourages all of us when each one shares their experience or what the Lord is doing. It's just a powerful thing. Let me turn this off.